and welcome to the Not-So-Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer. My name is Laura Vogt. I'm the Communications and Events Manager for Engineering Student Services and your podcast host. This week, we have Joe Sell, a Special Projects Coordinator from the Financial Aid and Scholarships Office. Hi, Joe, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thanks.
And can you tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe the services that your office offers?
So again, my name is Joe Sell. I'm a Special Projects Coordinator in the Financial Aid and Scholarships Office. I've worked at Berkeley for about 3 years now, just a little over 3 years. So I work in the counseling unit of the financial aid office. So we not only provide, in-person individual advising and counseling, but we also work with reviewing all student documents, student appeals. We do outreach to different departments. We do satellite office hours in different departments as well, dispersing, packaging financial aid, basically a little bit everything. So we do kind of just the whole financial aid.
Run the whole gamut of it all.
Yep.
And so what is the best way for a student if they need to speak with a financial aid counselor?
So the best way, in my opinion, is just in-person advising. So students can come to Cal Student Central, which is in 120 Sproul. They're open from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. So students can just come and check in at Cal Student Central. They can meet with an advisor there. So the Cal Student Central advisors, they work not only with financial aid, but they also work with the Office of the Registrar, with billing and payment services. So they really are a wealth of knowledge in all sorts of different areas. So it's a good place to kind of get those first general questions sort of answered. At that point, if it's something that needs a little more of an in-depth conversation, they can escalate the student to meet with a financial aid counselor on the second floor of Sproul. At that point, we can then really kind of dig in and have more of that in-depth conversation and see if we can answer any deeper questions that students might have. So they can do in person. They can also submit an online case through studentcentral.berkeley.edu. That's a way if they're not on campus and they need to get a question answered, they can just make a request through that way as well. All of us on the counseling unit are looking into those tickets, so we're helping answer those questions as well. There's a phone line they can call. So there's all sorts of different ways to get in contact.
Okay.
In person is definitely the best, in my opinion.
And if a student's getting financial aid, when can they expect the payout for that?
So generally, we disperse aid 10 days, or the earliest we can disperse is 10 days prior to the start of a semester. So for example, for the fall, we're beginning dispersing on, I think, the 13th is the earliest date we can pay, which would be about 10 days before the fall semester begins.
Okay.
Now, that's, again, provided that the student's file is complete. So if there's any requirements that students need to complete over the summer or before the fall begins, they want to make sure those are taken care of as soon as possible, because that could possibly delay the disbursement of their financial aid.
And if there's paperwork that they need to complete, how do they know what they're missing?
All of those requirements on Cal Central. And so really, it's down to checking Cal Central on a regular basis. We send out a lot of emails. So really, it's we encourage students to check their emails as regularly as possible, but also just keep an eye on their Cal Central as much as possible. Once we have the students their FAFSA application, at that point, we can find out if there's anything else they need to do. And we can post that on Cal Central so they know ahead of time. And that way, they can get that all done and wrapped up before they get here in the fall.
And if there's a student that hasn't done their FAFSA application yet, is it too late to still get anything turned in?
No. So the FAFSA deadline is technically March 2nd each year. Now, that being said, students can still submit their FAFSA even now. So the deadline does make a determination with some sorts of kinds of awards, but for the most part, students can still get a standard financial aid package even if they submit their FAFSA after the deadline. FAFSA actually opens in October, so it's open pretty early toward the beginning of the year, but definitely students can still submit their FAFSA and we can still package for aid.
Oh, that's great. Many of our students choose not to take the loans because they don't want to get out of here with a lot of debt.
Right.
I know some of them have the option to do work study. What is it? How do they convert to work study, and how does that work for them?
Yeah, so the first way, if students are offered work study, so at the very beginning, we try to offer work study for anybody who's eligible, and students can actually accept their work study on Cal Central, and that's kind of their first indication of whether or not they even think they're remotely interested in pursuing work study, and that gives us an idea if they think they're going to want it or not. So what I would say first of all is if students are eligible, they may already have a work study offer in their award package, and if they're even thinking maybe I'll use it in the spring, even if it's not going to be in the fall, they can still accept however much of that they think they might want to use.
Oh, okay.
Now at that point, if they don't accept any work study or they only accept part of it, the rest of it we usually roll over into a loan offer. But like you said, they can always come back and convert that later if they think they'll need it. Cal Central has a link they can click on that'll say convert work study to loan or loan to work study. And students can specify how much they want to convert, and then CalCentral will actually do it automatically for them. Now, in some cases, they might need additional review, and it might actually refer them to come to Cal Student Central so we can take a second look and do that conversion for them as well. But in general, if they're eligible, they can make that request from work study to loan or loan to work study either way.
And what exactly is work study for a student? What does that mean they're going to be doing?
So work study, it functions like a regular job. It doesn't have to be on campus. Some work study jobs are off campus as well. Students get paid like a regular paycheck. The only difference is that it's being paid out of a work study budget, essentially. But again, it functions like a regular job. They get job experience. They still get paid kind of any other position.
Okay.
Just it comes out of a federal work study budget.
Oh, okay. So it's making it so they don't take on the loan, though.
Exactly.
Which is the important part of it, the whole thing.
Yep. So you don't have to pay work study back. Work study is not a loan. They're earning that through their employment. So it's a great way to prevent taking out extra debt that they may not need.
And how can they get a work study job?
So they can actually apply through. There's a link on CalCentral that takes them to the work study website. There's actually a portal on the financial aid website. They have to have a work study offer in order to access the portal. But as long as they've accepted that offer in CalCentral, then they actually can log in and start applying for any jobs that are work study eligible.
And it's just applying for any job.
It's exactly the same as any other sort of job application. One thing we say too is that students are kind of beginning their job search. It's very easy to see, a job posting that says like, we prefer certain, experiences or certain backgrounds, and it may kind of discourage a student from applying for a job, but a lot of employers may offer that sort of training that they need, even if they don't have that background just yet. So it really doesn't hurt for students to apply for jobs if they're interested in doing so.
And one of the things I think might be nice about the work study jobs, especially with the students that we've worked with, is because you're on a college campus doing work study, we understand finals and midterms and having to get projects done. So we're really willing and able to work around schedules.
Exactly. Yeah. And one thing I always tell my students too, my first work study job, I was, in the library and I was doing like microfilm machines and like finding periodicals. I didn't know what that meant when I was first applying for the job. But it was a great experience and it was something I got to take with me afterwards. And again, it helped me in preventing out taking a bunch of additional loans while I was in school. So
now kind of going back to the financial aid aspect of it, what if somebody has a change in their circumstances, one of their parents lost their job or there was a death in the family or anything along those lines?
Yeah. So and we see that a lot, especially now that FAFSA is using 2 years prior tax information and income information.
Oh, okay.
We realize that the FAFSA doesn't always give the best picture of what the family's current financial circumstances are. So students can submit what's called a parent contribution appeal or a student contribution appeal if it's a student's income that's changed. And that really gives us kind of the opportunity to take a second look and to say, what is the family's current financial circumstances, what is their ability to contribute, and see if we can make a different determination for them. So usually we see those for circumstances like, parents lost their job or there's reduced hours or wages. It can also be things like if there's significant out-of-pocket medical expenses or something like that that's also impacting their ability to contribute.
Oh, okay.
And so that form is available on CalCentral. There's actually a link that'll say upload optional forms. And so students can find that parent contribution or student contribution appeal there. I encourage to read through the form as thoroughly as possible because we do require specific documents to help document the circumstances. If the appeal is complete, they can take a look at it, see if we can make a different determination for them, and see if that can maybe help out and again better capture their family's ability to contribute.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad that it's not something that's set in stone necessarily then.
Yeah, no, I said the parent contribution again is for the if there's a change in parent circumstances, but student contribution appeals too. We see this a lot for transfer students or students that were working full-time and then they quit to become a full-time student and they no longer have that income that was on their 2015 or 2016 tax information. It's not set in stone. So if there's a change, we definitely want to see if we can take a second look for them.
And how do students stay in good standing for their financial aid? Is there a certain number of units that they have to take or GPA that they have to maintain?
Yeah, so in the financial aid office, we have what's called Satisfactory Academic Progress, or SAP. It's a little bit different. It can be different than the college's determination for their academic standing, for example. So SAP requires about three different criteria. So the first is that undergraduate students have to have a 2.0 GPA or higher. Graduate students have a 3.0 GPA or higher.
Mm-hmm.
students have to complete 67% of the units that they attempt in an academic year, and then cumulatively during their entire career at Berkeley.
Oh, okay.
And then also they can't attempt, undergrad students can't attempt more than 180 units, so they can't receive financial aid for kind of an infinite amount of time either.
Oh.
And so we monitor SAP every year, and that's where we determine if students are eligible to continue receiving financial aid each year. If for some reason students aren't meeting SAP, they have the opportunity to submit a SAP appeal, and that gives us kind of the opportunity to see what those circumstances were that may have kept them from meeting those requirements. Students can provide a written statement that, again, explains kind of what the circumstances were. We want to get an idea of kind of what's changed since then, and then kind of what support resources they might be using to make sure that they can meet satisfactory academic progress moving forward. If students aren't meeting SAP, then they do lose eligibility for all federal, state, and institutional financial aid.
Okay.
So that's everything from federal grants, state grants, work study, federal loans, all that's kind of wrapped up under SAP. So again, if students aren't meeting SAP, then they may want to submit an appeal so we can see kind of what the circumstances were.
Oh, okay. And what is a CNP? I don't even know what a CNP is, but I was told to ask about it.
Yeah, no, so CNP stands for cancellation for non-payment.
Okay.
So CNP is an Office of the Registrar policy. It says that if students don't pay at least 20% or more of their fees by the fee payment deadline, they run the risk of being canceled from their enrollment.
Oh, okay. And if you're canceled from your enrollment, that means you're dropped out of the classes.
Basically, yeah. And then so then we want to make sure that they can usually re-enroll again, but we just want to make sure their fees are paid. So how that intersects kind of with the financial aid office is that a lot of students rely on financial aid to pay their tuition and fees.
Yeah.
So where that kind of folds in is back to our initial piece of the conversation is making sure their file is complete as soon as possible, because financial aid disperses on the 13th, for example, for the upcoming fall. So if everything's complete anyway, and that's well before that deadline. So that at least makes sure their tuition and fees are paid, and that way they don't have to worry about the cancellation for non-payment message.
Oh, okay.
So it really just kind of comes down to that proactivity of making sure their file is complete, making sure everything is there, and if it's not, getting everything addressed as soon as possible or checking in with us, we can make sure everything.
And so if you're getting that message, the first thing to do is just to check your task list and make sure that you've got everything turned in.
Exactly. Yeah. And if it's, and you know, if everything looks complete and all there's no missing documents or anything, there's a Word package there in Cal Central, that message will still be there until we begin dispersing aid. So a lot of times it might still be there beforehand. And in that case, it's not as much of a concern if everything looks complete. Not to discourage from double checking anyway, just in case you're not sure, come in and make sure, we can check for them. But yeah. And then if they're still seeing that message after we begin dispersing aid because something hasn't paid yet, we definitely want to take a look and see what's going on and make sure that everything's complete.
And is there a way that students can get emergency financial aid, like say if they lost their computer or it was broken or stolen or...
Yeah. So
anything along those lines.
Yeah. So we have what's called a cost of attendance adjustment request. So it's another optional form that students can find, like the parent contribution appeal that we talked about.
Okay.
It's usually not available until a little bit later on in the semester. So usually around like September, October is when we usually make it available. So the computer one example, students can request that we can offer additional financial aid to cover the cost of a computer once every 3 years.
Okay.
There are other different items they can request as well. So anything outside of the standard cost of attendance. So in their Cal Central, students will see a box that shows what's in their cost of attendance. And those are things like living expenses, transportation, books and supplies, those sorts of things. One really good example that we see a lot is rent. So our standard budget from last year, for example, for students living off campus, about $999 a month. But students may have rent that's outside of $999 a month.
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah. And so what we can do in that case is then request a copy of a lease agreement, for example, and see if they're paying more than what's in their standard budget. At that point, we can then try to offer additional aid to help meet those costs.
Oh, okay.
Now, the specific thing about it is that in most cases, it's going to be an additional loan or work study offer.
Right.
So unless it's a rare case where a student's grant has been reduced by outside scholarships or something in that regard, then they may get some of that back. But for the most part, it's going to be loans or work study that we'll offer for any of the additional living expenses or the computer purchase or that sort of thing.
But definitely make it so that they can make their ends meet while they're
absolutely,
here.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What if students have questions about scholarships? Do you have a good database somewhere for scholarships, or is it just kind of go and look randomly for things?
Yeah, no. So so students, of course, we're always encouraging students to apply for outside scholarships. And one website that I really like is scholarships.berkeley.edu. So it's just one sort of place for students to start, but it's an actual database that lets students filter out by their year in school, what they're studying, their citizenship status, all the sorts of things. It'll give them a long list to different scholarships they can go to, and each link will take them where they can apply and what the requirements are and that sort of thing.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And so it's a really great database. They're always updating and adding new scholarships. So, you know, one misconception is that the only time to apply for scholarships is before you begin your freshman year, and that's not really true.
Okay.
Students can apply for scholarships their entire time during their undergraduate career, and I just always encourage to keep checking back there because they're going to always be adding scholarships back.
So if you could give one piece of advice to students about financial aid, what's your one piece of advice that you want them to take away?
I think my number one piece of advice would be really take an active role in their financial aid. So when I say that, I mean, you know, checking emails, like we mentioned, you know, checking CalCentral, and asking a lot of questions. So don't be afraid to ask questions if something's not clear. There's really no kind of, you know, bad question, really, because it can be a little bit complex. And so we want to make sure that if there is any question, it's been addressed. But again, really being proactive, making sure everything is done ahead of time. And again, asking questions if anything isn't clear, because we want to make sure we can help out with that.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today
and of course,
giving us all this information. I know students are constantly asking me questions about financial aid, and I don't know. So I'm so glad that you came and were able to give us some answers.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me.
And thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. And if you've got any more questions, make sure you check out our website. We're going to have links for all the websites that we talked about today and maybe some extra hints if we come across them. And thank you for tuning in to the Not-So-Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer. I'll talk to you next week. Bye.